الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. What we had in the kitab reading now, it was a very important point. Everything was important, but the right of the Quran Sharif as far as tilawat is concerned, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi says, is that we must make two khatams at least in a year. From it is understood that one khatam is done in Ramadan and at least one khatam in the balance of the year. That is the very bare minimum. And this, some people feel that we read our Yasin Sharif, Tabarakalladhi, that is our tilawat. That is our wazaif. That is part of our awrad. And awrad are also very important, to have wazifas to read. Certain duas, morning, evening duas, these are also very important. Buzurgs have certain, man la wirda lahu, la warida lahu. A person who hasn't got wird, who hasn't got his wazifas, he hasn't got a set of wazifas to read, and he doesn't read them regularly, la warid, he won't be inspired spiritually. When a person does his ma'amulats regularly, the tilawat of Quran, zikrullah, morning, evening, duas, etc., then Allah inspires that person in his heart. So that is very, very important. So anyway, tabarakalladhi, yasin sharif, and alif lam mim, sajda, etc., that is not part of one's tilawat. That is one's awrad, one's wazaif, one's ma'amulat. Tilawat means from the beginning, from alhamdu to read regularly, how much we can manage till we read qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas regularly, and of course in the Arabic language. And it must be at least that our tongue and our lips move in that way, not eye reading. And not listening. Listening is good. Listen to a para a day. Listen on a cassette, on a CD. A good reader, in order to improve our reading, that will improve. But tilawat is not that. Tilawat is something else. So we must do our tilawat at least one khatam in the year. And that is for the very average Muslim. Otherwise, Abu Buzurgs have prescribed when a person becomes bad, at least one supara a day we should reach to. We can start, if we have not regular with our tilawat, then start with little, little, but we should come to one supara a day. And for a hafiz, we should try and come to three suparas a day. And that is really the minimum of a person who becomes bad. And the other ordinary Muslim, at least one supara a day we should read. And if we read it according to Islamic dates, very good, we'll remember the Islamic date also. The month that has 29, we just cover up that, read quarter, quarter extra, or read one supara on that day extra, whatever it is. So we know the Islamic dates and we keep track of Islamic dates also. And otherwise, the bare minimum, at least one khatam in a year, which works out to about 2 pages a day. And 2 pages will take about 3 minutes to read. Roughly about 3 minutes. Who can say that I don't have 3 minutes to spare for the Quran Sharif? And we see also our buzurgs, our elders, how time. Maulana Abul Kalam Azad was a politician and very busy involved in the politics. When he was in a foreign country and somebody asked him for some time to discuss something, his schedule was so full. And a man like that, who was so much in politics, what time did he give him? He said, tahajjud time. He said, that's the only time I'll have. You come and see me, I can spare you 10 minutes at that time. Besides that, I don't have any time. While we are passing on that, time is also very, very important. And to manage time, to control time, to look after time is extremely important. And barakat in things are in all these what we call small things. For example, late sleeping at night, barakat goes out of a person's life. Getting up late in the morning, that barakat goes out in a person's time. Just whiling our time away, what we call passing time. And our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, a person who passes time doesn't pass, he fails time. Time will fail him, and he will fail time. The time is very, very important. Once Mashura was taking place in Nizamuddin, very long ago, this Mufti Zainul Abideen, Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, himself narrated to us, and he was of the age of Hadraji Maulana Inamul Hassan Sahib, and they were personal friends also. But when it comes to matters, Hadraji was the Amir, and they respected him as the Amir, and they maintained the relationship of Amir and Ma'mur. Besides that, they were friends. So when they sat for Mashura, Mufti Sahib came about 15 minutes late. So Hadraji looked at him questionably, that you are late, you have come late. So he said, I'm only 15 minutes late. So Hadraji said, 1 minute if you are late, if it's 24 hours at least. Then Hadraji explained, you want to take the train from Delhi to Bombay, which takes about 24 hours, and you go 1 minute late and the train has left the platform. So now you'll only get tomorrow's train. So you are 24 hours late. So it's not 1 minute if we can realize the value of time. I usually tell the ustads when we have a staff meeting that if a ustad comes 1 minute late and he has got 20 students, it's not 1 minute, it's 20 minutes he has come late. And if he has come 5 minutes late, he has come 100 minutes late. 1 hour and 40 minutes late. Because the students are students. They're not going to be looking at their kitabs and studying. Half his students are not, till the ustad is not there. And if we, the ustads, usually say that the students, they know they must be learning. So if they know they must be learning and they can learn without you, then we don't need a ustad. The students can learn on their own then, if they can, if that is the case. But you need an ustad over there. So that 5 minutes which a ustad comes late is not 5 minutes. It goes to much more. And not only that, but the barakat that is taken away. When I was teaching first, I was in Germiston, and we were teaching maktab there, and imamat I was doing. Then madrasa used to start at 2 o'clock. And a common thing was that ustads would come 2:15, 2:30. Then outside on the corridor, they would sit and talk till about 3:15, 3:30. Then they'll go in the class. The effect of that, the students didn't learn. Now they don't know their sabaks, their lessons. Then the ustads start becoming angry on them and hitting them for not knowing the sabaks. Whereas it was the ustad's fault. It wasn't the student's fault. So that is one aspect. Your attitude becomes wrong, negative, because you did wrong, but you put the blame on somebody else. The other result of that which we saw, then the government came out with a regulation, the school department, education department, that now they're going to increase the school time. Then they started going to 2:30 to 3 o'clock. And this is Allah's system. When we don't appreciate a ni'mat of Allah, then Allah takes that ni'mat away. And Allah doesn't come Himself to do it. وَكَذَلِكَ نُوَلِّي بَعْدَ الظَّالِمِينَ بَعْضًا بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Allah uses somebody in order to punish us. So Allah can use the education department. And then we all will start, we'll go down the throats of the school and the education department, the principal, that you people are taking our time, it's madrasa time, and you're using it for useless things like music or whatever, extramural matters, etc. But it is our doing, it's not their doing. They are being used by Allah Ta'ala. Similarly, for example, Colonel Amiruddin is still alive, very, very old. In Trinidad he is, but he travels the world, but now he's mostly there. He once, he very strong in Jamaat work, very senior. He was in Egypt, and the Imam, all the readers of Egypt, mashallah, Allah has blessed them with recitation of Quran Sharif, how beautifully they recite. So the Imam read very beautifully, but what was particular of this Imam, he had a full beard, which normally they don't have. So Colonel Sahib was very impressed. The reading, of course, was in Quran Sharif's reading. If a person is a mu'min and he doesn't get affected by Quran Sharif reading, then there is something wrong with him. So he, after the namaz, there, most of the masjids in many Islamic countries, the Imam has a room attached to the masjid. And like if anyone wants to meet the imam, then they will go and meet the imam there before namaz, after namaz. And really that is who an imam is. Not just the imam of the musalla for the five times namaz, but he's involved with the community. And he sees to all the affairs of the community. He's a father to the community. That is really the duties of an imam. Not just to make imamate, but to have the affairs of the community at heart and to see to all the matters of the community. So they have a room, then the imam will go and sit there and he'll half an hour, whatever. And then people will go and meet him, whatever they want to discuss, they go and discuss with him there. So Colonel Sapp went to that room and the imam was there. So he said, I would like to meet the imam. So he said, I'm the imam. So he said, no, the imam who performed the namaz now. So he says, I'm the one. So he says, no, that imam with the beard. So then he showed him a wig hanging on the wall. We will just pass it off as laughing. But when we make tawheen and we don't make qadr of Allah's ni'mat, we make nashukri, we take things for granted, then Allah made the law in Egypt. The government, what we call a Muslim government, they made the law that people in civil service are not allowed to have beards. But it's not them, Allah uses them. It is our own actions. What we do, this is how the return, kama tadino tudano, jaise karni waise bharni, na maane to karke dek, jannat bhi hai jahannam bhi hai, na maane to mar ke dek. The result of our actions, they take on their forms. All our actions, every action has a reaction. And whatever we do, it goes up to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Then according to that, decisions are sent down. According to our a'mal. A'malukum, ummalukum. Your actions are your rulers. At the time of partition of India and Pakistan, some people were going away to Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif. Because that time, the facade, the riots and what happened at that time, and it's very necessary that we know our history. We have some idea of what happened at that time. So anyway, so many people were going away to Makkah Sharif. Maulana Yusuf Sahab Khandelvi Rahmatullah Ali says, this blood is not oozing from the land of Hindustan. It's coming from your own hills. And if you go with this amal to Makkah Sharif, you will cause in Balad-e-Amin, you will also cause bloodshed and riots there also. It is your own actions, and they are going with you wherever you go. And your amal, you cannot escape your amal. They are with you. They form a shadow, which in the West they call an aura, or over a person. It is over you. Your actions are over you, and they are going to be with you wherever you are. So our actions are very, very important. So therefore, the barakat in time. So in anything, every aspect of our things. So in time, if we look after time, time will look after us. But if we don't look after time and we are negligent, wherever it might be, a person can see in many things. You just take it a little easy wherever you are, and then you see you are behind time. You thought, now it's okay, I've got enough time. And you just became lax a little bit. Suddenly you see you lost time and you are behind again. So time is very important. This does not mean that a person doesn't rest. He must rest also. Even if he wants to just he wants to relax also. Sleeping is also rest. That is necessary. And our full sleep is very, very important also, in which unfortunately, today, there is great deficiency in there also. One article, Americans, they say that they rue the day electricity was discovered. Because of electricity and the internet and the TV, they say we don't get time to sleep. And in fact, they said that a chair will be made now that will suffice as a bed. Because they haven't got time to go to bed. So busy with all the browsing on the internet. It's a net. The internet is a net. And you get caught in the net. And when you are caught, you are like in the web. The spider web. And once you are in there, you can't come out of it. then it is this, then it is that, then it is that, and all unnecessary things also. And there your sleep goes, your fajr goes, and then the whole day you are finished, you are groggy, you can't manage your things, and there is no barakat left. Then your health gets affected. Your social, one friend of ours, he was so grateful when Allah gave him tawfiq to take out his TV. When he had a TV and then watching videos, and a pious person, 5 times namazi, everything, proper beard, everything, and kurta, everything. But he says, I used to watch filthy videos at night. And watched one finish, then the craving comes, see another one. Then he goes to bed past 12, 1 o'clock. Now he's aroused sexually. Then he goes and plays with his wife. She's fast asleep. So she's very angry and upset then. In the morning now, her sleep was disturbed. So she gets up also angry. And the whole day she's cross with him. Then he said, my whole life was destroyed. So this not looking after the time there, it affects our social life. It affects our private life. It affects everything. He says, when I got rid of it, now I'm in bed after Isha, straight away. Nothing to waste time. But now the shaitan is also not asleep. Shaitan is very much awake. So TV you might have taken away, but now jais to keep a laptop, to keep a computer, you need it. If a person does need for his business, keep it in the business. Don't put it in the bedroom. And in many bedrooms, it's in a private section of the bedroom, where the wife also is gone to sleep, and you are busy with so-called work, and all pop-ups come, this comes, that comes, and which human being is so strong? Temptation is so strong on a person, and there you get involved in, it destroys your marriage life, it destroys your health, it destroys your finances, it destroys everything. Shaitan is not asleep and is not stupid. When he managed to get Adam alayhi salatu wasalam to do which Allah did not want him to do, who are we? We are hardly small fries in his hands. And for the vast majority of us, shaitan doesn't even have to do anything. Our own nafs is enough. Our own nafs is enough to mislead us. Shaitan doesn't even have to make any effort. How our nafs plays havoc upon us, we hardly are aware of it. So therefore, it's very important that our time we must look after. Money, if we don't look after our money, we are not thrifty with money. Where we are extravagant, and tabzir and israf, both are haram. And wherever we can become guilty, that person will see short of money. Whereas if a person is not miserly, and he is not extravagant, no, even if he earns a little, there will be barakat in his money. And from Allah's side, Allah gives lot of barakat in such money. But where we are stingy, we don't spend. And what beautiful examples Buzurgs have given, when a person doesn't want to spend, the reason is he wants to keep his money. He doesn't want to part with his money. So the example they have given, like here in the masjid, if it is a very hot day, and we feel stuffy in the masjid, and we open one side windows, and we say, let the wind come in, but we don't want the wind to go out. The wind must stay here and keep us nice, cool. It's not going to help you. Open the other side windows also. When you get cross winds, you're going to be cool and you're going to get fresh air all the time. Otherwise, only one side winds for a start, little wind, and then that stale wind, and it's not circulating, it's not moving, you're going to have a problem. The same way, you are aware water irrigation systems for farmers there are. And if the farmer has a dam in which he can fill up water and then irrigate, but the irrigation system is you must just water your land and let the water move on after that for the next farmer. So if you think that I'll dam up the water and then I have enough extra surplus stock also I keep, but that water in the dam, when it's not moving, it's going to become stale. But allow the water to keep on moving, you're going to get fresh water all the time. So the same thing, our money, when we spend it also, we don't just hoard it. And then there is barakat, that money remains fresh, clean money. Otherwise that money, when it becomes stale and we did not spend it in front. And Islam's one basic business principle is that a person must not amass money. He must spend it. Open up a business, buy a house, rent it out, but don't keep the money. In this way, the upliftment of the whole society. You open a factory, you start one farm, how many other people benefit? Produce that is made, how many workers come there? Whereas if that money was just lying there, it loses value. Because every day, there's devaluation of the money. So that money won't. But if you invest it, the money itself also, the value of it goes up. If you buy fixed property, normally fixed property, the value just rises all the time. You open a shop, you open a factory, whatever, you have houses built, flats built, people benefit also. The value of that property increases also. And your money doesn't. So Islam doesn't like you must sit with money. Islam wants you to spend the money. And so the more you spend it, then that money remains fresh also. And when you just hoard your money, and Allahu Akbar, as far as the basic amount, how arhamur rahimin is not Allah Ta'ala. That whatever wherever Allah has told us to spend our money, wa mimma razaqnakum, that what we have given you. And min is tab'idiyah, that means part of it. And mimma, ma, that what we have given you. Ma razaqnakum, we gave you that. And from that, we just want a part of it. And the first part that Allah has made for us to spend is only 2.5%. Maulana Yusuf Sahib Kandilvi rahmatullah alayhi used to say, this is the last limit of miserliness. That a person does not even want to spend and zakat is only wajib on hawlan e hawl. That means what has stayed with you for 1 year. And fuqaha normally use a year's time, that in a year, like if a man couldn't satisfy his husband, his wife, and the wife goes and asks for talaq, then they will give 1 year's time. According in 1 year, that if he can, perhaps in winter he'll become potent, in summer he'll become potent, whatever, in spring, in autumn, so they give him a year. So a whole year has passed and you haven't used that money, which means now you don't need that money. That a whole year passed and you did not need it. So according to some Sahaba radiallahu anhum and some Fuqaha also, zakat is 100%. All that you did not need, you must give it away. You don't need it. But of course, the yufta bihi masala is that it's only 2.5%. So not 100% you had to give away, which you didn't need. What you used, you used. You were allowed to use it. You bought your clothes, your food, your car, your house, whatever. What stayed extra, and a whole year passed on it. On that, there is zakat now. So it means 1 year passed, and you didn't need it, so give it away to those who need it. So, but Allah Ta'ala made not 100%, not 90, not 80, not 40, not 20, not 10, not 5, 2.5%. How little. And that also what Allah gave. So it is so little. And our Shaykh Damat Barakatum Jazahumullah Khair also puts it so beautifully. He says that when a person takes out 2.5%, for example, on a million rand, it will be 25,000, I think, 2.5%. So 25,000 might look a big amount to him. But Hazrat says, don't look at the, why you taking out 25,000, kalija muku a gaya. That, all my money is going, 25,000. Look at the 975,000, that is still by you. And one whole year you didn't use, and probably the next whole year you're not going to use it. And you're going to add more to that. So don't look at the 25 that is going, look at the 975,000 which is still by you. So, and also Allah reward our share. He says when a person gives in the path of Allah, whether it is even his farz zakat, or he's giving lillah, sadqah, whatever, nobody gives. All what is happening, Hadrat says, you are just transferring from your own one account to another account of yours. Like people have got many accounts today in one bank. They've got accounts in various banks, in various countries they have got accounts. So if, for example, in one country the financial situation becomes a bit critical and you feel that there is going to be a collapse, the economy is going to collapse, like it had happened in how many places? Mozambique nearby us, Zimbabwe, where the whole economic system collapsed. And then if somebody comes to you and tell you, I will transfer your money to Zurich, I will transfer it to Riyadh, anywhere else, without him asking, you'll give him a commission. Because he's transferring, he's taking your money, yeah, where it's going to lose all its value. And it's going to a place, and we should not be in a dream world. In Mozambique, when the country, it went through what phases? First of all, communist. Were there laws that everything belongs to the state and everyone is equal, and the people who are multi millionaires. One person, once we were driving on the road, the main road of Maputo, that time it was Lorenzo Marx, they showed us that this property belonged to us. That property on one street, 7-8 properties. And in the morning, the government came, the army, military, and they took the keys away. They put locks on there. Finish, it's no more yours. It belongs to us from today. And in places, in Rangoon, very similar, what happened? Overnight. The people leased, the government came, military put locks on the places, this whole shop which you tell today was yours, from today it belongs to us, doesn't belong to you. A barber shop, a shoemaker, etc., you carry on working, but whatever income, that is ours, the government's, it's not yours, it doesn't belong to you. We'll just give you whatever your wages are, which you were the owner of that, and it was just overnight. And how devaluation of the currency took place overnight, the devaluation of the country, of the currency in Mozambique, in Rangoon. There were those women, Muslim women, Gujarati women. Most of the Muslims are there, Gujaratis, and they had up to four, five, six, seven maids working for them. When they used to bath, three maids just to bath them. They shouldn't bath themselves also. Three maids they had hired to bath them. A maid for the kitchen, a maid for the bedrooms, a maid for this. How many maids they had working for them? But when the time came and the government overtook everything, these very people had to go walking, who were not used to walking at all. They left and they went back to India walking. A mother will never throw her child away. But the child became a burden. They couldn't carry it. They just threw a living child by the road. And they carried on walking. And the time came when they had to eat frogs. When whatever they found, people who lived in this luxury, then this change came. So we must never live on our laurels and think, and how changes can come. And Allah's system, 17 Supara, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُ. Only Allah, 29, Allah only knows His army. Haiti, what happened? And there the earthquake came in the city. And when it came, 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, when the city was so busy. When what plans a person has, and what destruction came. So Allah Ta'ala, whatever type of He wants to send, He sends floods, He sends this, He sends riots, and he can make you, your azab between you, that you become enemies of one another. People who are best friends, husband and wife, 30, 40 years married. What enmity when Allah wants to, yudhiqa ba'adukum ba'asa ba'ad. That Allah can make you taste the enmity and hatred of one another. Where for love you can have, then if Allah is ours, everything is in our favor. If Allah is not ours, Allah uses all this against us. Your own car, your own Mercedes-Benz, which has got so many safety features, but that car can land on top of you. And it won't only kill you, it will crush you. So it is all in the hands of Allah. We should not depend. So whatever ni'mat Allah has given us, to make qadr of these ni'mat. Whatever ni'mat. So Quran Sharif is a very great ni'mat. We must make qadr of it. Time is a very great ni'mat. Money which Allah has given is a very great ni'mat. When we make israf in our money and tabzir, that we spend money where we hate to spend, but we spend more than what is necessary on that. And we spend money where it was not necessary. We wasted money. And today, where and where aren't we wasting money? If we just think of, for example, a watch also. What expensive watch? A shoe. You need a shoe. But what amounts are spent on shoes? A cell phone. Do we say it's necessary today? In order. But then the amounts that are spent on cell phone. And then hardly time has passed and a new cell phone. A new cell phone. That all these things have overtaken us. Cars we just change. Our clothes. How many people, when they just wait for a call where we can give our clothes away, because they're too happy we'll get new clothes again. And when you go and see, Allahu Akbar, in a bedroom, a woman's bedroom, and her shoe wardrobe. Shoes got a separate. And the amount of shoes. When is she going to wear all those shoes? And the dresses that are full. And forget that, the cloaks. One woman, how many cloaks don't she? One cloak is enough. At the most two, one is gone for wash. But how many cloaks? Today we are living really in a dream world. Allah Ta'ala does not like this lifestyle, this way of life, of living. And Islam is a religion of sharing, not a religion of hoarding and squandering. It is a religion of sharing. Islamic system, in the Western system, if you are living in one place, and then Allah improves your financial condition, you get more money, so then their system is you relocate now. You go to a more elite society area. You'll go to the northern suburbs, the better areas now. You won't live there where you were living when you were a poor person. Islamic system is you still live there. And you still maintain that standard of life. Use Allah's ni'mats, there's no doubt about that. But now you spend on the people around you. Make their lives more comfortable. You went through, Allah took you through that condition to know what it was when we didn't have. Now Allah gave you. And whatever a person has got is a ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. Now spend it on those people around you. Not that now you are living, your lifestyle was 100,000. Now your lifestyle goes to 6 million, 8 million. You go and live. So now everything of yours changes according to that. No, we should still live here. So therefore, the barakat comes when a person looks after all these things. Then Allah gives barakat in his health also. Barakat in all his things. As far as health also is concerned, our eating things. When we don't waste cleaning the plate. Barakat, it comes clearly in the hadith that clean your plate. For you don't know in which part of the food the barakat lies. It might be in that last part. And we have to eat not to fill our stomachs to get that barakat. And the barakat might be there. So a person, eating habits also still very sadly. Once we were traveling from Beira, and we were going to Tete. And in between was Shimoyu, one town in Mozambique. And we were traveling by road, and that road was under construction. And even when it's not under construction, what a mujahada. Anyway, we reached Shimoyu. Just in time we made wuzu. And we came in the masjid and namaz started. And we were totally exhausted. So I told them that day that I won't be able to make bayan. One of you, the local ulama who were with, they said, no, impossible, you'll have to make the bayan. So I thought we'll just take it very easy. And we just spoke on salam, the etiquettes of salam, etc. There was a jamaat from India also. And the amount they enjoyed it, that these basic things we are still not in our lives. In one place, just of eating, just the basics of eating. And we are still very, very deficient as far as these things. We become very philosophical. And like we read in the kitab reading about the inner meaning of the Quran, and we possess that, and we go to the inner meaning. But just the simple things of eating, of sleeping, of salam, etc., we are still very deficient. For example, yeah, in the Khanqa, now we have come for our Islah. But just consider how many times do we hear anyone making salam to another. Whereas it comes in the hadith, afshaw salama baynakum. Then if the word ifsha, what a beautiful word. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's Nabi. That to understand ifsha, and where does the word ifsha come? Ifsha is sir, somebody's secret. So if you want any news to spread in the world more faster than internet, more faster than TV and media, electronic media, just go and tell somebody, there is a secret I'm telling you, please don't tell anyone. And see how that it will spread in the world. So how that secret, how it spreads. Like that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used that word for salam to spread it like that. Salam should spread like that in the world. But today, where do we hear? One alim, our friend also, we studied together also, he came to the Darul Ulum sometime in this year, and then he came to me in the office. He says, I walked around in the madrasa, etc. I didn't hear one salam from anyone. Not from a student, not from a ustad, from no one. I heard one salam also. After that, then I told, they put these boards everywhere, afshaw salama. They spread the salam, but it doesn't happen. The only people who make salam nowadays, in my limited knowledge, are two people. One are the collectors who come, and they've got a very special and loud salam. Just as they enter the shop or the premises, Assalamu alaikum. That is one person. And the next person, even in Hajj you'll go. You labbaik, you'll hear a little bit labbaik at the start, and then that soda water is gone down. And then nobody, you don't even hear labbaik. And not only for us, the Jibreel alayhi salam came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and told, tell your sahaba to read labbaik, and loudly they must read labbaik. Allah loves the sound of labbaik. So there also you don't hear labbaik, you don't hear salam also. All 100% Muslims. Yeah, we can still say it might not be a Muslim, I didn't know. He might be a Hindu whose complexion is like ours. He's a black person. We don't know if he's a Muslim or what. But they're in Makkah Sharif, 100% Muslims in Medina, but you won't hear a salam. The only person who makes salam, and if you reply him, the next thing is, I lost my passport, I got mugged, my money is all stolen, my ticket is stolen. So salam is only left in order to get money. That is all what salam. Whereas when read the kitabs and the babs on salam, and what great virtues of salam, and what in, and salam. One alim from Bangladesh, he on the minbar he was sitting, and he explained three beautiful meanings of salam. One, he said that salam, the general meaning which we all know, peace be upon you. And that, what a great. And what did we trade it in for? Hello. And what is hello? Hell, low. You go, one tells the other person, you go to hell, and the lowest part of hell. And he gives him the same curse, baddua again, you also go to hell. And you also go to the lowest part of hell. Hell, low. That is what there is. And ours is, Assalamu alaikum. What a beautiful, peace be upon you. And when peace, when a person, if he has got no money, nothing, but if he's got peace, that means he's got everything. Allah will bring everything around that to keep him in. And if you got all the money in the world, you got all the health, but you haven't got peace, that person is in Jahannam in this world. When Allah gives that azab, Allah save us all. You can be in the most protected place. In that also, if Allah takes away your peace, you're in Jahannam in this world already. So what a beautiful Greek meaning. The second meaning, As-Salamu, that is a name of Allah Ta'ala. As-Salamu al-Mu'minu al-Muhaymin. And then it will mean, As-Salamu ma'akum. May Allah be with you. And for example, a head of the family was staying with the family whole night. In the morning he's leaving now. And he says in his heart, and they also realize that he was with us, that I'm going now, but As-Salamu ma'akum. Allah will be with you. How lot, just the words also, not the actual reality, just the words, how lot of solace, comfort that Allah is with you. And the family, they tell him in return, wa alaykum assalam, assalamu ma'akum. You are going on the roads, there are hijackings, there are robberies, what were dangers on the road, so may Allah be with you also. And if you just were that conscious that Allah is with me, and all my wife, my little children, they all gave me this dua that Allah is with me. How much solace. And if the reality is there and Allah is with you, what harm can come to any person? So what a beautiful meaning. The third meaning is that as-salamu, that when one Muslim makes up to another Muslim salam, he gives him guarantee of salamat, of peace. That I, from my side, I give you guarantee, salamat. I won't interfere in your izzat and your honor. Your money I won't steal, I won't rob you. Your wife, your daughter, your sister, I won't interfere with any one of them. Anything of yours from my side, be at ease that you've got salamat from me. And he in return tells you, and from my side, I'm giving you guarantee of salamat, that I won't interfere, I won't harm you, I won't do you down in any way. What a society is produced. And in namaz, what a deen we have gone on. Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. How perfect deen. When we make salam to one another, and it is clear that we make niyat of all on this side. You make niyat of all on. In fact, there are four niyats in our salams. Commonly it's known that there are three. That when we make niyat, we make salam, one is on the farishta. Today that we don't even make that niyat. And then secondly, all who are on the right side, the musallis, human beings. Then there are jinnat also in namaz. Make their niyat also, we don't even think of them. And then if the imam is on that side, on the right side, you make his niyat, so it's four niyat. If the imam is on the left, then on this side. And if you are directly behind the imam, he's Allah, what honor Allah gave him. You make niyat for him on both sides. That you make niyat and you make dua for the imam of salamati. What a dua. What a teaching we have been given. But today we are shy to say assalamu alaikum. And not only, and when we enter the house and a person enters and says cheerfully and loudly assalamu alaikum, and the family replies cheerfully, Allah looks at that house with rahmat. Allah's rahmat comes there. But today we are shy. We don't make. Our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, if he's a dunyadar person, when he comes home, he rubs his eyes, makes them red, that I'm very cross today. I had a very terrible day at work in the office. Nobody must come near me. Keep the children also away from me. Nobody must come. Whereas Islamic teachings, you come happily, you make salam. They reply, the children are all around you, your wife is around you. Allahu Akbar. Once in Stanga I made this bayan, and I said that when a husband comes, the wife must be waiting with a milkshake, glass of milkshake, juice, etc. One woman, Allah give her jazaa khair, she took it literally, and she did it that when her husband came and she kept the glass, he got a shock. He said, what is this? You want to poison me? Or you're making jadu on me or what? So she explained, no, today Maulana came and he told, this is how we must welcome the husband. Then that man, he passed away, Allah gave him Jannat, very good man. Afterwards he told me that, after about 6 months I met him, he said, you'll have to come give the bayan again. It only lasted for 2 days. After that it stopped, all that. And I said, put a rose on there also. She said, only lasted for 2 days. After that it stopped. So anyway, so if this attitude, the husband comes cheerfully, he brings a little rose, a small, any present. He just, some love, heart he drew on a paper, he gives to his wife. She receives, what a house. Jannat is for us in this world. If we maintain our deen, and this is what is called islah and what is tasawwuf, to bring this within us. Jannat, that which, what is that jannat? Allah will give us jannat here if we bring Islam into our life. The true teachings of Islam. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. We are supposed to speak on that ayat, wala tarkanu, if Allah wishes, inshallah, tomorrow. But these things are very, very important. May Allah give us tawfiq to make amal. And the recitation of Quran Sharif, minimum one khatam a year, which is for the group sitting here, that is two letter. That is for those people who are not so close to masjid and to deen, they must make. How much more mustn't we make? And at least our one khatam in Ramadan. If we came here for itikaf, we're spending our month and we don't make one khatam, it will be a sad, very sad condition. So at least our two khatams a year.